Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, considering here about the fruit of the Spirit. But in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's liberty in this fruit. It's manifested, is to be manifested in the children of God. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and love, with affections and lust or desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Spirit of God living within us should manifest these things. These are the things that people do see in us. And then what the brother mentioned, what Brother Chad mentioned, what I've told you about this couple, folks could see the fruit of the Spirit in them. They see the fruit of the Spirit in the people of God when they've got trial, temptation, where they've been saved from, and what they've turned to the Lord. They're following the Lord. We follow Him and we manifest these things, and they're manifested greatly when it's not a reciprocal kind of affair, we love when we're not being loved. That's where the world goes and says, does a double take, right? They do a double take and say, wait a minute, what's going on? That's not normal. The Lord Jesus Christ, did He not say, He says, what thank do you have if you salute your brethren only? Because the Pharisees do that, right? But salute all. I mean, it's good. I've thought about that here recently. He said, if you salute those that you're friendly with only, he said, that's the way the Gentiles operate. That's the way the Pharisees operate. But if you salute all men, hi, how you doing? Yeah, you ever have that thing walking down the aisle at Lowe's and pass somebody and you look at them, they look at you, and nothing said? Don't be backward, Brother Jim. I'm bashful. Well, at least say hi. How are you? All right, but be representative of child of God. Joy when we're not going through a situation that would cause us to be happy. See, when it's manifested, when the situation at hand doesn't warrant it in the mind of the world, and then peace. We're talking about peace, and we mentioned about it last time. We need to be found in peace, as we saw there in 2 Peter, and things that were that the apostle was pointing out there. We finished up in that portion of scripture, and we want to come down here. I want to take a look real quick at Luke chapter 21. Let's Luke chapter 21. Here the Lord is speaking to these the disciples here. In Luke chapter 21, quickly, he tells here about some end time things, some things that in this do not apply to us. It's going to be about the Jews. And we've read some of this here recently, even, I believe, in Luke chapter 21 and other passages. Luke chapter 21, verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That is telling about when Titus would come in 70 A.D., I believe. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Verse 8, and he said, Luke chapter 21, verse 8, he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. When Christ cometh, it'll be known. When Jesus comes, he'll be known of all. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. We're talking about peace. For these things must first come to pass. It's going to be that there's going to be wars and rumor of wars and commotion and such as that. Be not terrified, but rather be found in peace. Don't be scared. When the news comes on and something comes on, yes, we may be alarmed, we may be amazed, but we need not fear. I mean, we need not fear. We're in the hands of the Lord, aren't we? We are. We're in the hands of the Lord. And yes, we're in this old man. We're in this old flesh. And as things come closer to us, or like for a man, we wouldn't necessarily be so much fearful for ourselves as we would be greatly fearful for our family of something coming near. But we're in the hands of the Lord, and we need to be always understand that we are before the Lord and that we can petition the Lord at any time. But he says here, these things are going to come to pass, but the last part of verse 9, but the end is not by and by. And then saith he to them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences. We've had in the last few years a lot of more earthquakes. We've had hurricanes and such as that, just devastation, just terrible devastation. Those things are going to increase. And pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues. I think that this happened in the days of the disciples, the apostles and such, and into prisons, being taught, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. He said this terrible time, by the estimation of the flesh, is going to be an opportunity for a great witness. It'll turn to you for a testimony. It's time to speak for the Lord. And you know what? You and I won't be able to speak for the Lord unless we've been living for the Lord. Right. Bottom line. Right. Don't count on it just being, the Lord will work a miracle and a miraculous thing in it in His people when He gives utterance and when He gives a voice. But you know what? If we haven't been living for the Lord in the simple things, when it comes down to life and the giving of life, we won't be able to stand then. I mean, the Lord can do a thing, but I mean, there's just that, it's just that way. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, and not to meditate before what ye shall answer. When it would come about, that it would be our case, that we would be taken. If there would ever be an issue that the law would come and get me because for being pastor of this church, in some position, some stand that we would take because of the Scripture, I need to settle in my heart not to premeditate about what to answer till the time comes and the Lord give it. You know, if I'm not living for the Lord, if I'm not feeding on His Word, if I'm not praying to Him, there's not going to be anything there to work with. Oh, but if the Word of God's coming in, and there's a thinking and a meditating upon the things of God, if there's a pursuit of the things of God, I'm not setting myself up as an example. I'm not the example. The Lord Jesus Christ is the example. I'm to be an example to the church as pastor, but the example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He is our example. He says, don't meditate what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Yes, he's speaking to the Jews, those Jews that are there in his church and those that he saved and those disciples that are there with him. But I believe we can bring this to us. With all your adversaries, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay. They won't be able to doubt it or they won't be able to resist it. Have you? We've seen that. We've seen that in some things where an argument is thrown up and then the Word of God's brought out again. But there's nothing to say. They have nothing to say. That's what this is. That's what this is talking about. If we answer the Lord if we answer the adversary with what the Lord says, we'll never go wrong. Not what we think. Not what we believe in and of ourselves, but what the Lord says. We've even heard of that here recently in some discussions that you have had with some. If the Lord will honor His Word, He'll give an answer because it's what He says. Verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? But that's what the Lord said. He said, I didn't come to bring... You know, we're talking about peace in the believer as a fruit of the Spirit. But then the Lord Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to send peace, bring peace, but bring division. Even in a household where kin, where mother and father and child and daughter and son and daughter-in-law, sister-in-law and kinfolk, where they'll fight tooth and toenail one for another. He said, but I came to bring a sword. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, kinsfolks and friends. And some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. How? Because the Lord's thinking eternally. Look here, verse 19. In your patience possess ye your souls. The Lord's always looking on the eternal aspect, isn't He? The soul is what's eternal about us. And we that have been saved, the soul has been saved. Amen? And we're talking about peace. That's the subject. He said that there's turmoil out here in the part of the world that is the physical world. Hurricanes, earthquakes, the heavens showing forth different things. There's turmoil there. Impatience possess ye your souls. We talked about this thing of peace. We can't conjure up our own peace, can we? Our peace comes from the Lord. And is the Lord in control of that part of the cosmos? That word world, cosmos, all that is created, invisible, visible or invisible, as the Scripture says, is He in control of that? Yeah, He is, and we can have peace, can't we? It's in His hand. The threatening of man and the working of the wars and the rumors of wars and the great upheaval amongst nations and such as that, in patience possess ye your souls. This word patience is talking about, you ready? Cheerful or hopeful endurance. Constancy or consistency. Patient continuance waiting. And find out about the Christian life, the life of the child of God is going to be mostly about waiting. And our society doesn't care much about waiting for anything, does it? I dare say that it's very easy, my family knows, for me to be impatient. But you know, we need to do what we've got for us to do, and then we need to wait. And there's going to be more waiting. There's a lot to do, but there's going to be more waiting than there is doing. In patience possess you your souls. The nations stirred up. Are we going to be tore up? The world would then come at us. If the world would come at us and it pleases the Lord for us to bear a witness of being persecuted by the world, are we going to lose our peace? Or are we impatient going to possess our souls? See, if our outlook is that this is our home, we're going to be troubled. But if our outlook is a heavenly home, whose foundations and the building of it and whose maker is God, that makes this diminish. Words easy to say. I admit it. But the truth nonetheless. In your patience, in your cheerful or hopeful endurance. We're looking to the Lord, aren't we? Yeah, we're looking to the Lord. Possess you your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Titus. Well, we've been looking at Sunday mornings about the Battle of Armageddon, the gathering of the nations against Jerusalem in that last day. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them which are in the countries enter thereinto, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Just like we've seen, right? The Lord's going to bring it to pass. It will, as we saw, what was it we read? We read in Ezekiel, it's going to come that one day that this is the day. You know, we enjoy going on trips. Maybe go on a family vacation. Maybe you go to a family reunion. Maybe you go on some special thing. Maybe we have meetings that we plan as a church, and we wait and we wait and we wait, and then it finally comes down to the day. We're all excited that this is the day. One day it's going to be the day that the Lord is going to mete out His vengeance upon sin, wickedness, wicked men in the earth. He's going to redeem in total His people. He says, These be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. The Lord says, in patience possess ye your souls. You know, I've been thinking about those Jews there that the Lord's going to save in that day at His appearing. I mean, it really seems that's going to be the what's going to happen. In one day, the nation of Israel is going to be saved. How many? It seems like, from what I understand in the Scripture, maybe a third or so. Maybe it'll be more, maybe it'll be less. But nevertheless, in that day, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, they see Him whom they have pierced. He will save them that day. He will redeem them that day at His appearing. And He says, in patience possess ye your souls. This, I believe, namely speaking to the Jews. And they shall fall, verse 24, by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. I think this alludes to what Titus did. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This old world, and when the Lord manifests His power in that day, and all those wonders that will be taking place. We saw here recently about the Aurora Borealis, right? The Northern Lights, the Southern Lights. And what, if you've ever seen that, maybe you've seen that on TV. It's really neat to see it in person. We had one time we were coming back from me preaching at a church in Illinois, and we saw some of it, of those Northern Lights. And there's going to be things like that happening in the skies. And the Lord's in control of that. And we can rest and have peace in Him. Amen?
That's right.
But there will be those, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud, verse 27, with power and great glory, there at Jerusalem, there for Israel. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In patience possess ye your souls. You know, following what the Lord has instructed there, for one to have that cheerful, hopeful endurance, that word patience, that's what that means there. In your cheerful, hopeful endurance, possess ye your souls. In constancy and consistency, possess ye your souls. In patient continuance and waiting, possess ye your souls. And the only way somebody can do that is with peace, isn't it? And not an earthly, not a carnal peace, but a peace from God. A peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we're to manifest in this fruit of the Spirit. I mentioned to you last time, we took a look at a couple of scriptures about how the Lord, there with the disciples, He saw them, and we're close here, Luke chapter 24. Let's take a look over here again. Luke 24, verse number 36. Luke chapter 24. He appears to the church, I'm sorry, after His resurrection, and He says, peace, in verse number 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and saith to them, peace be unto you. In John chapter 20, we saw that, here with this church. They believe, and their understanding is that they're going to come after them. They've killed the Savior, they've killed their rabbi, they've killed their master, and they were gathered together for fear of the Jews. It says here in chapter 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 21, and then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. He showed them the nail prints in His hands and His side. As My Father sent Me, even so send I you. And then in verse number 26, after 8 days, and He says, and after 8 days, again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. The same Greek word. that we see there Galatians chapter 5, describing this fruit of the Spirit. The Lord is reaffirming, be peaceful. Everything's under control. I'm here and I'm supposed to be here, and it's not outrageous that I'm here this way and in this body, right? They thought he might have been a ghost, right? A spirit. And he settled that for them, right? He ate the fish. He ate the honeycomb. He challenged them to touch him. John, when he writes in his the epistles that he writes, right? The Apostle John, he says, we've handled him. We've touched him on the resurrection side, and he's real. And he says, peace. Peace be unto you. You know, we need to remember that when we're tempted and tried and we have sore trouble, it's a trouble that comes our way, things that we can't control, things that there's nothing more for us to do, and we have to come to that time of waiting, patiently possessing our souls. We need to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ where he said, peace be unto you. I want to remind you, too, relative to this, of something here that happened in Mark chapter 4, that's accounted here in Mark chapter 4. Let's take a look here. Sometimes it gets like this with us. Here in Mark chapter 4, we pick it up in verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side, he says to his disciples. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? There's a song, right, that we've sung. Carest thou not that we perish? The Lord's back there. The storm comes up. They got water in the boat. The Lord's back there asleep, lying on a pillow. They come and wake him up, and they say, don't you care? We're going to die. They thought the situation was out of hand, didn't they? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That word peace there is different than what we see over in Galatians chapter 5. This word here is more like the word hush. Be peaceful. And when the Lord came up and they challenged the Lord, said, don't you care, we're going to die? Aren't you excited like we are? Don't you think something needs to be done? We've been bailing and bailing and bailing. Master, carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep, right, the song goes. When the deep is so threatening us, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he gets up and he comes out there on the deck and he says, peace, be still. And everything's calm. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us that way. He says, Jim, you just need to hush. Hush. See, there's a difference between what the Lord has told the waters to do, and sometimes that we need to be reminded that He tells us to do. We just need to hush. Be still and know that I am God. Well, what's that being still is going to take? It's going to take some waiting to watch it come to pass. But the word over there, the word peace over there in Galatians chapter 5 that we're looking about the peace of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of peace is something that we need to possess. We need to possess that peace. We need to be found operating in that peace. That's the goal and the manifestation of that fruit is to have the peace. So the Lord said, He said, the peace that I have, I'm given to you. And we've taken a look at that, that's based on what? The Lord Jesus Christ being in control, right? He's in control of everything. And so because He is in control of everything, you and I can rest, can't we? One of the definitions of that word that we considered early on in our consideration of it is quietness and rest. The Lord told the water, rest! And then it did. You and I, we need to be found in the state of resting, being peaceful in the Lord. This thing comes up, another thing comes up, another thing comes up. Said, "Oh, it's I'm just being bombarded." Yes, it'll happen. There'll be life. Will be that way. Here a thing, there a thing, another thing. We need to rest in the Lord. Lord, there's nothing I can do. I'm waiting on you. Amen. Not that thing I've told you. That I've likened myself in my life to take a thing to the Lord in prayer and then walking away from praying to the Lord, reaching behind me and taking it back again, right? We're subject to do that. But when we do that, we're not resting in the Lord, are we? We're not leaving it with the Lord. And we're all in the same boat. We're all subject to that. We need to petition the Lord and be like that widow that He tells about in prayer. We need to have the peace of the Lord, don't we? It'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. What's he been talking about? The coming of the Lord. Right? In chapter 4. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Be ready. Always. May the Lord help us in those things that we're not ready in. Right, from the standpoint that we get ready in them. For the Lord come tonight. Might come before we get out of here. We need to be praying that He would. For when they shall say, peace and safety. See, there's a peace that's sought after by this world. There's a peace that's going to be claimed by the leader of this world, the Antichrist. It's going to be a false peace. It's going to be promoted as the peace that everybody's been looking for. But it's going to be a peace from the world, isn't it? And I tell you what, we don't need to put our stake in this world at all for the peace that this world can give. Amen? Because see, here's the ultimate end of it. For when they shall say, when they shall promise, when they shall say, it's at hand and we can have it, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Because when it comes on, it's going to stay on. And it's going to be the judgment of God. And without Christ, there is no eternal peace. This is a false peace that's promoted. A false peace promoted by the world. May the Lord help us that we not put our stake, that we not have deceived to pursue after the peace and the safety that's offered by this world. Can our government save us? No way, no how. Can the leaders of the world deliver us? No way, no how. Can they come up with the solution to the troubles and the things that exist among nations and tribes and peoples of this earth? There's only one that can do that, isn't there? the King of Peace. Amen? The King of Glory, the Son of Glory, Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can bring peace. That's one of the things He's going to do in the thousand-year reign, isn't it? It's going to be peaceful then. And we need to, as His people, we need that peace from Him. We need to possess that peace from Him. We don't need to be in a state where the Lord is telling us to hush that we have that peace, but we need to be possessors of that peace. May the Lord help us in that. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't have the peace of God. You may be subject to this false peace or a temporary peace that this world promotes, but you don't have peace. Because you don't have peace that'll take and last from this life to the life to come. That's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts off with peace with God. Isn't it great to be forgiven? To be forgiven of my... I'm forgiven of my sins. I have no... there's a reverence of God Almighty. There's a reverence of our Heavenly Father and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reverence of Him, a love for Him. But because of what Christ has done for me, I'm not going to be destroyed. I've got peace with God.
Amen.
Made by the Son. And you that are here and not saved, that's what you need. You need peace with God through Jesus Christ. May the Lord help you. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. Trust in Him. And may the Lord help you in. If we can help you, we desire to do so.